And I was pondering it, and I went, wow, that was really neat. And I want to just share, retract something, or go back through something that you observed just recently. I don't know where it came from. It's not a mind thing. It just, and I really want to encourage you about this. When the Spirit speaks to us, He just wants to come, just settle. He really wants it just to be a simple thing, a whisper from your beloved. Speaks in your spirit. And all of a sudden, I just was aware of something. It wasn't on a bulletin board. It was just all of a sudden I knew something. It was that kind of thing. And all of a sudden I knew, and I came and shared this at church, that the next 3 years of my ministry were going to be the most fruitful. They were going to like overwhelm everything up till now. Like everything to this point was just getting ready for this season. Why 3 years? Am I going to die in 3 years? What's going to happen? I was like, no, it's not about that. It's just, I don't know. It's just 3 years. That was just what I got just reading the mail, just reading the messages that come. So it's very important to do. And that I was going to compensate for all the years the locusts have eaten and all the years it took me just driving and trying to get someplace and not moving anywhere too fast. And I came and I shared it one morning to the church, not because I was trying to make anything happen. You know, there's a difference. The priests, when they came to minister to the Lord, very interesting. When they went into the Holy of Holies, it was very important what they wore. You know how we're like, some of us are real heat sensitive, especially getting into the summer and the humidity, like don't like the heat and keep the air conditioning on, and, you know, all those kind of things. And what's all that about? It's like, I don't want to sweat. And worse yet, I don't want to feel like I need to sweat and can't sweat, you know, that kind of thing. And the priests were instructed with certain garments that when they went in to minister to the Lord, it was very important that they didn't perspire. That was just interesting. Just a very, but very like, whoa, that's interesting. But it really speaks to something in us that it's important that we don't strive in our walk. It's really hard. It's kind of an oxymoron because one time, you know, you can give a message about being diligent and being, you know, pursuing excellence, and that can be a great word, and I may, you know, I can share that at any given time. There's something, though, about this walk that there, whether it's when you're actually ministering something, whether you're teaching, whether you're leading worship, the people that are fruitful, you'll notice, they just have an ease about them, right? Those are the best. They're just at ease. And when that's actually like up here, we haven't hit the summit when we're intense and striving and spitting and fire, though that it is what it is. It can be that, you know, it's not that that's bad, but it's a thing that you would discern in a person. Are they just really there, or are they trying to get there? And I shared one morning, I said that, I just shared that with the church. I said, the next 3 years is just gonna, I'm gonna enter into something. It's just gonna come. It's just spilled out is what it was. And I wasn't trying, I didn't have any picture. Here's what it's gonna look like. It was just something I felt. And often when we're making declarations, we're trying to strive for something or figure it out. And I know I've been guilty of that myself. Whether you're declaring a healing or something else that you want to happen, there's this difference, and sometimes it's a fine line. I mean, two people can each do it, and one is truly peaceful and knows and has a yes in their spirit. They know. That's faith, knowing. They have vision. You know, imagine, you know, that they can envision it. And then another person's a wannabe. I want to get there. I want to be healed. You know, and it's not that it's a bad thing, but there's just a difference. So I spoke that, and blows me away. There's a conference going on this October in Marion, Ohio, with my friend Ron Wilson, and we've been interacting. And when I first met Ron about a year ago, and then I went to a conference that he did. I want to stay connected to him. Again, I just had this in my spirit. Whatever he does, especially with this Marked Ones conference, it was something that he kind of designed. And I like the heart of it and the feel of it. And I want whatever he does, wherever he does others of these, I knew there would be others. I want to be involved. I hardly ever feel that, but I just felt that. Like, I want to stay connected to him. I want to be involved in what he's doing. And so here we are, we've become friends. I didn't know him very well at the time. We've become friends, and at first he wasn't going to do any of those conferences this year. And as we taught, then all of a sudden he's like, I think I'm going to do one, you know. And I said, I think you need to do one at our place too, you know. So I said, that's what's in my heart someday, to do one here. So we're thinking about doing that in December. We're kind of looking at that, and that needs to get put in place pretty soon, but that we're talking. And so this one in October, he goes, and I'm going to do this, and I want you to speak, and I also want you to help lead worship and some of your people to be involved. I'm like, oh, real? Oh, wow, okay. I can't say no because I'm, you know, you're too far in, but I'm like, wow, that's neat. And then the other day he calls me and he's like, me and the senior pastor, we're talking, and if you're going to be out here and this conference is going to go, it's October 2, 3, 4. Second is a Friday, like a Friday night, a all day Saturday night, and then a Sunday morning is the 4th, October 4th, our anniversary. Hallowed be the day. We want you to stay and speak at the church. The pastor wants you to speak Sunday morning at the church. I'm like, whoa, wow. Yeah, wow. And this church, Marian Christian Center, like, they've got a long history. They were one of the forerunners in the prophetic movement and a lot of stuff. And like every other church, they've been through things. I got off the phone with Ron. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is coming to pass. The fruitfulness, the day, it's just changed. I mean, forever I've gone to things and observed and not really been connected and didn't know how to connect. And here all of a sudden, the Lord's just putting these relationships together that I'm convinced of this, because this has killed me through the years in the ministry. And that I just, like, can't prosper in it. I can't get outside of my little world here, and that's fine. But the day of fruitfulness has come, and I didn't strive for it. The Spirit is just bringing that to pass because He desires that, and that's just exciting. That's neat. Like just day, and the day is at hand, and I feel like we've made a movement in our hearts to some key things. And I believe it's going to be the key that unlocks the promises, unlocks the prophetic words that we've had to grow and to do certain things. And you look at those and you go, this is insulting. This is like ridiculously, why would you even show me this good thing? It's impossible. I've spent a lot of time depressed because of my vision. You know you're in a rough place when your vision is what's making you depressed, and the promises are what's making you depressed. You know, it's that day when someone comes along and goes, "Hey, things are going to get better," and you're almost mad about it. Like, honestly, they haven't gotten better, and if anyone was qualified for things to get better, it's me. You know, I deserve for things to be better. So it just was fun, and I just wanted to share with you I hadn't experienced anything where I just peacefully, something just spilled out because it was just in my spirit. And then it's like it's happening. It's pretty cool. It's neat. It's a new day. It really is. And I'm learning to just be at peace with my gifts and callings. And we need to graduate out of that moment by moment. Do I feel anointed? Do I not feel anointed? Am I anointed? Do I have a gift? Do I not have a gift? Uh-oh, I didn't do well this week. Do I deserve to have a gift? You ever have one of those weeks? I kicked the dog. My mind was every place else. I yelled at the cat, da-da-da, you know. I bit my child. I don't know, where do you go? And it's interesting, the Lord is, when he gives the gifts and callings to us, he doesn't vacillate like we do. So we vacillate all the time, even with our relationships and friendships. And, you know, we're like, I like you, I don't like you, you deserve to be liked, you don't deserve to be liked, you're perfect because you treat me nice, now you're not perfect anymore because you don't treat me nice. You know, we're always moving in our how we feel about things, and we think God's that way, and he's not. He chooses you for a purpose and a destiny, and you have a good day, a good week, a bad week, a good marriage, a bad marriage. You know, things happen and we go, oh, it's over. God's like, no, nothing's changed. I already knew what was in the bag before I bought it. I already knew what was in the package when I picked it up. You can't fool me, I'm God. When I buy a car, I already know it's a lemon. There's a good analogy. Here, let's just get over it. You're all lemons. Thank goodness the lemon law is in effect in kingdom, you know, in heaven. Jesus buys us, pays big money. The Father pays big money for you, and then you turn out to be the wreck that you are. Talk about money-back guarantee. Like, somebody in heaven would be thinking, hey, could we get some back on that one? That was not a good investment. They're like left of center, way left, in a ditch, you know. But heaven stays. The gifts and callings just settle. They settle on you and they're there. And it's stay connected to it by faith, not by performance. Stay connected to your gifts and callings by faith, by his goodness. I was thinking about this in worship. And Phyllis, you seem to want us to share something. Okay, well, I'll give you a moment. That could be the end of it once I give her the... No. I'm going to get a fondling when I get home. Now I forgot. I lost my... But they stay. Isn't that awesome? It just stays, and we tap into it by faith, not performance. And the answer to everything. Oh, I was thinking about it in worship, very, very significant. Do you know what the biggest problem with worship is for you when you're not able to connect? It's about you looking too much at yourself. It's about being too self-conscious. That's what it's about. And I've had a terrible time, even though I've been a worshiper all these years, of a hard time getting me out of the scenario. Do you realize if you can remove that element, just step aside from it, because I don't know what you do with the thing anyways. You know, how do you get rid of your self-consciousness? Looked up, and I looked in worship again today. The baby flock speaks to me. I just get word. I look, and Ansley and Naomi were around, and Ansley was over there with her parents, and she lifts her hands. Everybody's lifting her hands, and she imitates that. That's why you don't want children hanging out with each other too much. They need to hang out with adults so they learn how to talk and do things right. You know, that isn't that interesting? They need to hang around things that are higher than them, bigger than them. And I saw them lift. And then little Maddox with Jeannie, her grandson, he's like out of character being happy and praising the way he is. Most of you can't see that, but he's standing in front of Jeannie, and she's clapping her hands and letting him clap, and then she releases him and she holds it, and his hands just like, I need to stay connected, Grandma. Like, he's reaching for her hands because I feel connect when I feel connected to your, you know, and I'm just looking at these pictures, and that is really worship. It needs to be the more just gaze at him. Get yourself out of the scenario, and that's the real, when we hit, we're looking at him, and whatever's wrong with you will change out of those moments. Phyllis?
Stay here. Stay here. You can hear me, can't you? You can hear me. There was a prophetic, huh?
The recording again.
Good job, Adam. I'm impressed. Adam got Phyllis to cooperate with something. That's two fondlings.
Such a loving. Anyways, this morning when we were in worship, I just wanted to share this. I was going to ask Rick if I could share communion, and he went into it. I thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't. But when he started sharing this, I thought, we've got to connect as a couple. And we were told that we would do this as a couple, so that's what we're doing.
Yeah, amen.
This morning, I went out to my garden, and what is in the natural, first the natural, then the supernatural. And years upon years, I plant this garden, and I remember a book that I read a long time ago where there was this woman who would plant a garden, and her stuff would be beautiful. And right beside the same garden was another garden, and theirs would turn out terrible. And the one was a spirit-filled Christian, and the other one wasn't. And out of that, the other people became saved. And then, you know, so all through these years, I would just speak words over my garden, and I have never really been without. Everyone knows that. I plan enough just to make sure, and I've always had a good garden. I mean, that's not a problem. But here is the problem, is that I would speak to it, I would pray, and then something would come along that would cause me to doubt whether it was a drought or whether it was too much rain or whether there's a blight. And so year upon year, I struggled with this, believing God will take care of this. And so you would find me going, okay, Lord, you're going to take care of it. And then I'd go, oh, my gosh, I don't know if we're going to have enough of this, or this isn't going to work out, you know. And so the last year or two, but mainly this year, I can feel the difference. And I'm speaking this for what Rick's saying. There's an atmosphere change. Actually, I want to see you raise your hands and walk into it. Just receive it. So we have been working with Ashley and then Brady and Maria, and I have nonstop.
In their houses, yeah.
Yeah, in their houses. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, sorry, didn't finish my sentence. I've not stopped painting and doing things. And so I put my garden in as fast as I could put it in, and walk away, and it rains, and it rains, and it rains, and it rains. And I'm thinking, oh my, this is the perfect weather for a major blight, and too much water, everything will rot. And I just said, you know what, Lord, you know what I need? I'm just very peacefully going, I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to trust you. And I think I've been in it three or four times at the most since I planted it, enough to get the weeds out and take off again. Well, this morning I woke up, and I woke up early, and I got a cup of coffee, and I walked down to the garden. I love doing that and haven't been able to do it all summer. And my plants have blight on them. My peppers plants, they don't look that great. And I'd been down there earlier and saw my pepper plants, and I just said, you know what, Lord, I just thank you that you're going to take care of these plants, and I'm just going to bless them, and you take care of it. And the ones, when I went down maybe earlier this week or last week, there was no peppers on them, and last year I had a terrible blight on them. The leaves are yellow. I walked down this morning, and there's peppers growing on these plants. And my tomatoes are doing good. Yeah, there's a little bit of a blight. I don't really care. And I was just talking to the Lord and just being real, just feeling the peace and just the trust that the Lord would take care of all of this. And I went, whoa, I have entered into a different place. I have entered into, now not with everything, but there was this place, and I just felt his presence. And I thought, I can trust you. I can just trust you. And you are so good. And
my cucumbers are producing and my peppers are producing and my tomatoes are coming on. And we got a phone call from this Ron, and they said in their place, because of the rain, they've lost I don't know how many crops. It's just unreal. And I went, wow, wow, Lord, you have blessed us. But the blessing, like I said, he's always blessed me. I've always had fruit in that area. But my heart and my peace, that's what I was receiving. That's the fruit that's being produced that I'm seeing. And that, it was just so sweet this morning to go, I fully trust you in this area. And what Rick said is true. We have entered a different realm. And where the leadership goes, you go. And I just had this vision of us again just raising hands and going, I'm in. I just receive, because that's all you can do is stand before the throne and go, grace me, I receive, and wait till he transforms your heart. So, can I do that, Rick?
Yes.
Just a second, and then
yes,
you can continue on. Raise your hands if you're in.
Amen. Bless you, Jesus.
Father, we just thank you for where you're taking us, and I just thank you for what you've given to Rick, because that means the atmosphere has changed for all of us. And so, Lord, we stand as kids saying, I want it. I want all of it. Give me. Yeah, here I am. Don't forget me. I'm here, Lord. Pour it out on us. You see our hungry hearts. You see that we're in. Now pour. Pour, 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 and we receive. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Here, put this back. Or you can put it there. It doesn't matter. Amen. Amen. Good stuff. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For those of you who are here, we had a neat Sunday morning last week. Breakfast / sharing time. It was neat. Church in my front yard. Yeah, so we tried to get everybody informed. We realized that almost everybody was gone. A lot, two different vacation groups going in different directions. But you know, we still almost had 40 people. I mean, 39 I counted. So that was neat. But it was a really neat thing to do, wasn't it? Just to gather in the front yard like that. And it reminds me, it was part of our beginnings when we moved here to the property. And we had just acquired the property, and we had a meeting out in my front yard one morning looking up at the oak trees. And then we walked around the property claiming this before there was much of anything on this property. And we marched around it like that was all we knew to do, was we walked around things, you know. We had revelation about that. Put your feet wherever your feet walk, you know, it's yours, and tread. And so we walked and we claimed that, and it just took me back to all those years ago. And that would have, what year maybe would that be? I think 90, what?
When we first moved to the property,
it was 96. Yeah, it'd be 96, because Ashley was born in 95. So it was, probably been the summer. We were getting this at the same time. So it'd probably been the summer of 96. That long ago. And so we've not only survived, but there's a prosperous heart. And so I was sharing recently about that we want to be a house of therapy, that this word therapy, we were looking at Hebrews chapter 1, I believe, and it talks about, it refers to Moses. The writer of Hebrews is referring to Moses being a servant in the house and a servant of his house. And he was referring to Moses to make a point with the Hebrew people. Like Moses, how much more Jesus? Jesus is a servant in the house. He is the servant. But we looked at a word study that I had received from James Maloney in one of his books. And that word study takes the word takes you in the Hebrew, between the Hebrew and Greek, and studying out those words, it takes you from the word servant, which we kind of have a dictionary definition of what a servant is in our mind. But when you get all the connotations and all the things put together there, and you develop this, it turns into being a therapist. Like, a servant is all of the root words and all the meanings, when it's all connected, it develops into being a therapist, and like a house of therapy, like therapy, so that when you're it's this ministering, like someone would minister to you, like a therapist would minister to restore you, to like lean over the bed and restore you to health, like stay there until you're nursed to health. And so if we can, we want to develop this in our hearts, that we are therapists in our communities, that we're therapists, where this is a house of therapy, where there is, and the word that we use for housewarming, you know, like a house or house that has hospitality in a home, that feeling that you have, that really needs to be part of the elements of our Christian walk. When that's missing, then you just have legalism, then you just have rules. But when you move into this warm, bringing warmth, our word summer comes out of I can't pronounce all those words, but all of a sudden here's this word therapy that we have a whole different, so you don't put servant therapy together usually, but that's the nature of it. So that when we're carrying this thing, when we're connecting with people, that we bring this warmth, because there is a real warmth from heaven. There's a warmth from the Father's heart. When people meet you and I, the Father looking on wants them to meet Him. Isn't it neat how this happens all the time in life? You see someone, it takes us a while to develop into, here's what's interesting, we're born in a house, we live with our parents or live with the people that raised us, and we kind of develop certain characteristics. And then as we're, you know, teenagers and we think we're smart and know everything, we try to distance ourselves as far as we can from, I don't want to look or talk or act like my mom. I don't want to look or talk or talk like my dad. Like someone says, oh, you're just like your father. You know, you're like, no. I don't know why we do that. We all do. Every teenager is like, no. I just live in this house. I'm not like them. You know. So then as you get older and you start to find who you are, this is a funny oxymoron, yeah, all of a sudden you cannot help it. You realize you're commenting just like them. You're responding just like them. You're like, you have all these traits. And you go, oh my gosh, I can see my dad doing that exact thing. Phyllis will say that all the time. If I'm fussing over babies, baby animals, baby, she goes, oh, she'll say, that's just like your dad. Your dad would have had the exact same reaction thing, you know. I want to carry that from my Father. I want Him to be pleased as He's watching. I want people to when they can interact with me, to feel that warmth. That's why we want to be really sensitive. It's more than just having knowledge or having the right things or the right answers, the right views, the right beliefs. It's about bringing, that's all important, that's very important, but it's about bringing a warmth and bringing that therapy, because that's what it takes to heal the soul. The cold, hard facts will keep everybody sick and separated. I know sometimes I'll listen to the Bethel app, and I'll listen to like a Sunday night worship. And usually on their Sunday night services, when they do baptisms pretty often, and when people come and give so many of the little short testimonies, little blurbs as these people are getting baptized, is that there, so many of them are coming back to the Lord. They're coming back to the Lord. And we're living again in a culture of tons of people that are separated from the Lord. It's not that they don't know Him, but something's come and separated them. And there's such, just that alone, there's such a ministry in restoring people something's happened in their life and they're like, this, it's over, my heart's hard, I'm done, I'm bitter, I'm, you know, stuff, life happens. And it can leave the best of us in a really weird place. How much heaven's looking at, watching every one of us, wanting to reach out, wanting to touch, wanting to draw us back, because it's a lie that separated us in the first place. Or an offense, and how you, it's some ugly, stupid thing. But it becomes real and it becomes between you, and Satan doesn't care what works. He's not a, he has no integrity, so he doesn't care. You know, he doesn't use the same, he doesn't care what it takes. He doesn't care what. And some of the most, the little things that we don't think are the horrific things in life can separate us. Remember I shared about my fish coming out of the, I lost one of my koi fish, $150, laying in the yard dead. And I had named them, this one was Shalom, and so, like, I'm embarrassed to admit, I felt that, like, ooh, wow, I lost one of my fish. I mean, I would talk to them and, you know, reach down in the water and pet them. It's ridiculous. Why do we do these things, you know? But his name, this one's name was Shalom. His, her, I don't know, you know. But I named it Shalom. It was like this silver, bluish silver mixed color. And I, again, the Spirit just spoke, like, I realized I kind of like, I lost my Shalom. I lost my peace. And so I'm like, ooh, that's kind of a freaky word to get. Hey, you lost your, you know, have a prophet come up and go, hey, you lost your peace. Like, oh, you know, or you're going to lose your peace, you know. And I felt it was a warning, but one that's a redemptive warning from the Spirit. Watch over, be careful. And so I shared with the church, we've got to watch over some of the things that happen that are inconsequential. Guard over your peace, because once that's removed, once your peace is removed between you and the Lord, bad things start to happen. Like separation begins, and it can be the most minuscule thing that starts the separation. We have architects and technical people. I'm not thinking of the right term. Engineers go and study our bridges and different things. They're looking for stress fractures. Sometimes even metal, big iron in time becomes compromised. The strength that it once had is compromised because there are tiny fractures, or it's stressed, or it's the age. And the enemy knows it can take the smallest little stress fracture to begin. And so we want to guard over our peace. Guard your heart with all diligence, Proverbs says. When I've been developing a couple of different friendships with people in the ministry, and one of the men, some things started to happen in their life, and they were sharing with me, and I'm watching, I'm like, uh-oh, like, you're in trouble, like, this isn't a good thing. And here's what was scary. His first reactions to what he was telling me about was, like, up here, I know how to respond to this. So he was saying the right things. And like, I know I shouldn't be offended. It shouldn't be a problem. I'm like, whoa, whoa. You need to acknowledge this is real. This is a real sting. Like, I know you're trying to act like a good Christian, but you need to see the truth first. You need to recognize this for what it is. You just got cut deep, Shrek. Like, so you don't get better by pretending like it's not there. You need to go, ooh, do you know this is so awesome? When you, most of our anger, our temper tantrums, our throwing things across the yard, whatever, you know. Do you know there's a whole nother reaction you can have to things? Because actually, anger is always a secondary emotion. It's always a secondary action. There's always something that happens first, and many, many times it's a hurt, a pain. And we know what to do with that if we hurt our hand, like we're all grown up if we don't cuss and swear when we pound our thumb. And you can get there. You can stay calm. It's okay. Just stay with the fact that, that really hurts. Oh, don't dance. You can dance around. You know, you don't have to go to that weird place, though, where you're acting like a two-year-old again. You know, that, you really don't have to do that as a grown man. You know, we all know that, don't we? Yeah, right, okay. I thought so. Not here, Pastor, never. So when you get hurt, your heart, you're sensitive, it's okay. Things can't hurt you, then you're probably dead. Because this is one of the dangers of being alive among the living. The living can still feel pain. And the living can still react badly and make mistakes. And so, do you know that when something comes, you can go, ah, geez, that hurt. Just take a moment. Like, it's not that hard. And immediately, do you know how easy the Spirit can touch you if you'll just stay in that place instead of allowing it to separate you from the one that heals? Duh. How dumb. But we do it, don't we? To just go, ah, Lord, that hurt. Ooh, I feel that. And if you'll stay there, the Spirit can speak to you easily, more quickly, and you'll be amazed how fast you can, but it's real. So it's not about learning Christian behavior. I say this often. I don't want you to learn good Christian behavior. I want you to get revelation. I want all of us to have revelation and walk in true revelation. And true revelation, you know, is able to say, ah, this is hard. This is difficult. Something happened. You can acknowledge that without going into complaint, without going into bitterness, without going into accusation. None of that's really necessary without blaming everybody else on the planet. But you can come to a place where you just go, oh, this an enemy came, you know, and hurt, killed, destroyed like this, and the Lord can heal that. So we want to be the therapist and carry that. It's such a ministry. And here I go, 2 Corinthians 4, and I promise not to be too long because we don't need to be long. Therefore, in verse 1, I'm going to read 13 verses. At first, I was just going to read a few verses, but I'm just going to take time to go through these verses. Since we have this ministry, and again, it's talking about having a ministry, but again, we all do. So it's not people that have ministry and people that don't. But we're all in that that's really the calling. There really isn't just this thing where you get life and fire insurance by coming to Jesus. Like I grew up in that mentality. And then the only things you came to the altar for was to get saved, to rededicate your life, or to be a missionary. There were no other altar calls consisted of those three things. If you went up and said, I'm sick, I need prayer today, they'd probably go like, we'll go to the hospital. We don't do that here. There wasn't a grid for anything. Ministering to your heart, back in the day, there wasn't. A lot of those churches have changed now, but they're like, wow, it was like there wasn't anything else. We're all in the ministry. We're all called. Once you know, you come into that. It's the family business. I always tease Ashley about it. As soon as she shows any ministry characteristics, you know, I'm like, oh, it's family business. She's like, you know, don't. I'm like, that's all right. You cannot help yourself. We're all in the ministry. As we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. And that word truth, I just want to pause for a moment. This is our pursuit, to know the truth. And again, one of those huge markers in your life. Look for this in whatever's rough, bad in your life, or whatever is a stronghold or difficulty. What's the truth? Because There is a promise attached to this. The truth will do what to you? So when you're in bondage, any way, up, down, side, don't get mad, get even. No, that's how we go. If you're stuck on something, it turns it into an adventure. Go, I'm stuck on this. I remember going canoeing with one of our groups. Every once in a while we would go canoeing. Back when we were young and dumb, we don't do that too much anymore, do we, fellas? We get the floaty truck tire tubes. You know, that's what we've graduated to now. Well, I remember going with a group years and years ago on a cold Memorial Day weekend in Cook's Forest, and one of the canoes full of a family, mom, dad, couple kids, cold weather, kind of rainy. I don't know why we chose to be on the water anyways, and their canoe gets stuck on a big rock in the middle of this river, and water's moving, and the water's pretty deep enough you don't want to go in. No one's going to drown, but no one's going to have fun either, you know. And I remember my heart, like, I couldn't even get to them. That's like a hard place to be. You're stuck on a rock. There are areas in our life where we're stuck, and the answer is the truth. And when you're stuck on a rock in the middle of a river that's moving not terribly fast, but fast enough, you know that the wrong move will put you in the drink. The whole family, you know. So it's not just about, you know, I remember the husband of this family, like, big guy, you know. Very capable. But he's in a precarious place. Because the big guy tries to fix this in the wrong way, he's going to put the family in the drink, you know. So you can't use your strength now. You've got to use wisdom. You've got to be careful. And often in our life where there's something and the answer is, you need the truth. And you're like, I know the truth. It's the president. You know, I don't know. I got the truth. It's my neighbor. Oh, I got it. It's my wife. It's the relatives. We're convinced, like, yeah, that's kind of like what seems to be the problem. I'm pretty sure that's not the truth, though. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that you're looking at something, and if it was the truth, you'd be free, and you ain't. So whether you want to hear this or not, just sit still in your little canoe for a moment and realize that what you think is the problem probably isn't. Because the truth will set you free. The truth will release you. So the truth is huge, and there is truth about every situation. There's truth there. And they don't have to get it. I have to get it. Because when you get to the truth, stuff doesn't have to change. That's awesome. When you get revelation, stuff, people don't have to change. You change and you get free. Now we're talking real, real stuff. Do you understand how deeply we are ingrained in this, that we need to fix something in order for me to be happy? Do you know how deep that is in you? I mean, we got a bad case of it. It's deep in our culture. Something's wrong, someone needs fired. This saddens me. Corporations, government, whoever, anything big, this is the how you deal with the problem. Something bad happens, you gotta fire somebody. No one's happy unless you honestly. I mean, if the person is really, truly negligent and they need fired and dismissed, then yeah, true, you got to do that. So many times something just went wrong and that person was not really, there's a lot more to the story. But this is how you shut everybody up. This is how you silence the accusers, as you annihilate someone. You fire them, you get rid of them. So that is just an example of how we deal with that. But I would long for, especially someone where there's public opinion and watching, that we go, well, let's find out what the real problem was. Yeah, there's a situation here, but let's find out what's the rest of the story? What really happened here? Is that really going to solve anything that we fire this person? And I understand situations or people lose their lives and things, serious things happen. But we have such a mindset to let's eliminate something, let's fire something, let's eradicate something, let's separate from something, and everything is this has this death mode to it. Put up an I hate my neighbor fence. I mean, really, is that the answer? The temptation is there. I get it. I get it. But what is the truth? Because the truth will set you free. The truth will bring a work. The truth is kingdom. And we live in a culture where we're so steeped in deception that we don't even realize. We come to church and think we're doing good. We got a ways to go. We're not there yet. This is in us, man. It's in us deep. And there's a release and a revelation from truth. And Paul, as he's writing to the Corinthians, he really knew. He says he was real, like, by manifestation of the truth. And so when the truth manifests itself in a situation, it's powerful. And this isn't about your striving, and this isn't about you setting people straight. This is just about truth. Could I say this? Truth has a power of its own. And once it's embraced, you don't have to push it. It's like walking into a dark room with a flashlight. Just, you don't go shine in people's eyes. Hey, I got a flashlight. Yeah, you moron. I see you've got the flashlight. I once was blind by darkness. Now I'm blinded by light. I'm still blind. Can you feel this? The hope of the power of it? And we're always pulled to, here's what needs to happen. It's like, probably not. Here's what needs to happen with our leaders. Here's what needs to happen with our church. Once that thing comes into an organization, it really contaminates. If we can get out of that and click that thing off, because it kills and steals and destroys, and get into the truth, but the truth that is out of the house of therapy, like the truth that is a therapist, the truth that has a warmth to it, the truth that comes alongside and says, you need truth, and I'm going to come and nurture your broken heart and lean over your bed until you are made whole and made complete. See, that's a whole different thing. That's what's missing. Then we get to the truth, and now we're really dangerous. Now we've got 2 6 guns. I can shoot you from both sides. And then I'll pull out my rifle, one handle, and, you know, gun, and shoot you right between the eyes. With the truth, of course. But the truth from heaven has a therapy to it. It has a warmth to it. It has a power that brings life. The truth will make you free. Free from bondage. Free from what hinders. Commending ourselves, continuing in verse 2, to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age have blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God should shine on them. Now, what's important about this? What makes the difference is whether a person can see or not. This wasn't about let's minister harder. Let's find a tricky, deceitful way to get them into church. Let's connive and let's find a way to save the relatives. Let's find a way to change our environment some way. But it's the emphasis was this, and Paul was acknowledging it's about, and if they don't have light, if they can't see, they can't see. They won't believe this message. So the key to the message is that the light comes on. It's about getting our hope fixed on revelation and the truth coming. And so there are opportunities where we carry that, and at the right times and in the right ways, we speak truth. But if you can speak it, if you can bear the truth, carry the truth, but do it in a way where you are not manipulating, deceiving, conniving, controlling, because that never has power with people. It is about coming to this place where we are faithful to believe what we believe. They're very, very important. Like, we don't want to be wishy-washy. It's not that we agree with everything in anybody, in any situation. But it's about coming to a place where I peacefully carry this. And the greatest attraction is that I'm free. Because when you try to peddle something that you don't have, you can't export what you don't have at home. And we're very guilty of that often. Like, have it. Let a person tap on your shoulder and go, hey, what's that look in your eye? They'll ask. Do you know when you finally get there where you're really carrying the peace and the joy wherever you go, they'll ask, like, hey, what are you so happy about? They'll watch you in a difficult situation, stay calm and like, whoa. What's up with that? Well, I worked some things out with Jesus a while back. I can't believe you just let them do that. Well, it wasn't weakness, it was meekness. There's a difference, right? Can't believe you let people walk over you. Like, you misunderstand. I wasn't walked on. I'm good. That was meekness. I chose to just be quiet. I don't need to fight to prove anything. I don't need to retaliate to that anger. I'm good. Wow. What are they going to say? They're like, whoa. Where'd you get that? It's that unusual. And I really do. I try to practice, and more I practice this, and there's more of an ease. Just, do you know how many things you just don't have to, you don't have to react to? Here's a hard thing for me when I really screw something up. Whether it's something I'm working with my hands on or a relationship or whatever, it's hard not to just go nuts over a mistake when you perceive, oh, that was bad. I talked too much. I did this. I shouldn't have asked. All that stuff. The morning after stuff. What was I thinking? I shouldn't have made that phone call. To come to a place where you're not in control of it, you're just faithful to walk in the truth and to be who you are. Let me continue on and I'll just close. It's getting late. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. There's that servant again, that servant that is a minister, a therapist. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So again, a very clear statement. We know where this came from. It came from him. It didn't come from a person. It came from him. Every person's got to get revelation. They've got to know for themselves. The light has to shine in every heart. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. This is a testimony, folks. What happens when things go wrong with us? We are like on a campaign to get revenge, to get reimbursement, to get our money back, to get, have, you know, see somebody die. Somebody's got to die. Somebody's got to pay for this. And the beauty of the early, the apostles and the writers of the Bible are that they're like, when I shared this about Paul and Timothy, it's like, Timothy, here's what I'm concerned about. I don't need you to go raise money to get me out of jail. Don't find a lawyer. Don't find an attorney. I just don't want you to be ashamed of the gospel because of me. Just don't let it get to you. Don't be embarrassed. I'm in chains, but I'm not a victim. That's what he's saying. It's like, it isn't what it looks like. I'm still good. The Lord's in control. I just started prison ministry. That's all. You don't have to get a permit to be a prison ministry when you're in prison. You just, you know, everything's automatic now. You don't even need a background check. Okay. You've had one. Okay. We're hard pressed on every side, not crushed, yet perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. That's a peaceful way to live your life. When you get here, then you stop living in fear of what may happen. When you get here, you're not a victim. No one can do you wrong, because no one really has power to do you wrong. And even if there are certain results and stuff happens, it never takes you out, because you're like, it is what it is. The Lord, I'm all about Jesus is watching. He will vindicate me. He will help me. He will deliver me. And if certain scenarios take place for a season, I just take it in stride. This isn't about wishing martyrdom on yourself. That also is another religious spirit, actually. But this is about a life of being free. Once you're this free, then you can be prospering and not be paranoid. Because Murphy's Law says if things are going good, they won't for very long. Do you know I still have to watch over that thing that creeps in? If I start to prosper or things are good, I find I have these little tormenting thoughts like, oh, this is, you know, what's coming? I'm like, where did that come from? That's an old mindset stronghold. That's not Jesus. We'll just leave it at that. That's not Jesus speaking that. Jesus isn't the one whispering in my ear going, better watch it. It's, you know, Monday's coming. When you get here, get free. You're free to prosper, and you're free to suffer, because you don't, this plus this doesn't equal this, you know? It's kind of like you have a different formula. And what adds up is your connection with Jesus, and nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. And the truth will set you free, and the truth will keep you free. And the truth needs to manifest, and heaven is wanting truth to manifest through your life and my life, because there's such a power in it. There's a power in it. It's not religious. It's truth is a liberating thing. And wherever there's strongholds, I just would encourage you, this is the word for today, like, if you're stuck, stop arguing with yourself and just say, I don't know the truth in this yet, or I'd be free. Can you do that? Here's the proof there's a problem. You're not free. Here's the answer to get free. You just, when the truth comes to this, boom. And whether things change or not, you'll get free. And once you get free, the stuff usually just disappears. It just like, usually like a vapor just kind of goes away. And that's the promise of this thing, and that's the power of it. And also, live in ease, live in a grace. Set back and settle into his gifts and callings, and they will make a place for you and bring you to a good place. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for just the gathering today. I just thank you for the picture of our babies worshiping. I thank you for the sound of a body singing hallelujah. And in our little setting here, I know that heaven heard our hallelujahs this morning. That's big. That's big. Men try to build cathedrals and do great things to, at least they say, it's so their sound can be heard in heaven, that their praise can be acknowledged. But I know by faith that heaven heard us this morning as we worshiped. I know by faith that heaven heard every prayer in every heart. I know every heart cry was noticed, heard. I know that angels were sent, messenger angels sent with answers because of prayers prayed this morning, of things released, things offered to the Lord. Father, continue to build us and grow us. I know this is our destiny and vision, that would be a house of therapy, house of mercy, just the name of our road. The road, our address here, speaks to our prophetic destiny. House of healing, house of mercy, house of therapy, that when people encounter us, they are attracted by the warmth, the hospitality of heaven. That there's a comfort, there's a feeling of the power of freedom. That we truly represent not a church, but we represent the church. We represent Daddy's house. We represent the big house with Creator God. We truly represent Carrie, Jesus. So I ask for your power to be on us, to be free from sin. I ask for your power to be on us, to prosper and to be in health. I ask for your power to be on us, that we can supernaturally minister grace to people, that there'll be opportunities where we can speak light in the darkness in a way that is transformed, so that truth can manifest. I ask that you give our people opportunity this week to speak a word of truth that has a transforming power. We're not going to look to ourselves or make that happen or look to our strengths or how smart we are. I know that if we just open our mouths at the right time, you'll just put words in them. If you can make a donkey talk, then you can allow us to minister. What a great opportunity to get to minister, to speak a word of hope, to give a smile that reaches all the way into a person's heart. To give mercy when everyone else is giving accusation. To show kindness that is undeserved. We long to be your therapists. What a great joy of all the things that are truly satisfying in this life that we get to do. To get to be your hands and your feet. To get to be your mouth, to get to be used so that you step into us and minister through us. What great joy to just move as you move. This little picture of Maddox reaching up for Grandma's hands so that he can be connected to the worship, so that he can be connected and not alone and interact. And wow, we just want to reach up and grab your hands, Father, as you let us stand as a child in front of us, in front of you, and just be so surrounded, so close that we're in your shadow, so close that we're in the shadow of the Almighty. I just ask for the manifestation of the shadow to be on some of you today. I just declare you're in the shadow. You're so close to the Almighty, you're in His shadow. And in that is a presence, atmosphere. I know you want truth to be manifest. I know you want peace to be manifest. We don't want to be talking about stuff that we don't, that's not manifest in our lives, through us, to us. Bless you, Lord. I release victory in awkward relationships this week. I release a spirit of hope in the midst of hopelessness. Set in our hearts a desire to make a testimony of you, to be a testimony, that any problems or obstacles are just their opportunity for testimony. No obstacle, no opportunity. No difficulty, no opportunity. No challenge, no opportunity. So we choose today not to complain, not to utter complaint. Complaint is so easy, but we just choose to set aside complaint and instead to choose declaration and praise and acknowledgement and just a determination. Lord, out of my need, I just determined to see you glorified. I just determined to see you. I release an expectation to see supernatural things happen this week, to see healing happen. Just walk in the Spirit and obey the Lord. There's nothing that's impossible. All kinds of things can happen. Divine opportunities. Consider the needs in your physical body as things Jesus wants to heal and touch. Just in a very relaxed way, just take a different look at it. Just obey the Lord. Just follow the Spirit and see what He will do.